Am I on? Hello? I flipped the switch. Everything's okay? Okay. All right. I'm going to sit down this time. I've resisted, but I need to because we have had some little gentlemen at our house the last couple of days, and I realized when I got in here this evening that my back was killing me. I've got tears going down my face, and now you guys know I am like everything is scripted for me. If I go off script, there might be a problem. I read recently that worship is us playing with our Father, our Heavenly Father. And if you did not have a father who you could say, Daddy, look at me. Look at me, Daddy. Watch, Daddy. Watch. And he would watch with pride. We do have that Father now.
Amen.
That is the Father that I'm saying, look at me, Daddy. Look at me. And he looks every single time.
Amen.
Every single time.
Amen.
And so that is the Father that I am singing to.
Amen.
Welcome, everyone, to Serenity Church.
Woo!
My name is Auntie Laurie, and I am an overcomer of the CODA non-aholic variety. So I've been attending Serenity Church from the beginning in 2006, but I didn't realize I needed a program for over a year of hanging out with you people. Like everyone else, I had to hit bottom before I was willing to surrender my way of accomplishing my agenda. Welcome everyone on YouTube. I have family at my house who are watching on Facebook. Glad you're here. And the front row enthusiasts.
Woo!
Yes. You've helped everyone else.
Front
and so I want to hear some preach it harder and
rocks.
Yeah. And you can say that again. That
and
would be
rocks.
Yeah, that would be great. Anything else you can think of?
Yes, ma'am.
Well. And yes, ma'am, I get my yes ma'am from I won't call any names out, but I get my yes ma'am from over there. Okay. You'll hear us talk a lot about the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous around here at Serenity Church, and you probably won't get that unless you have something painful in your life that you do repeatedly and obsessively, and no matter how hard you try, you can't stop doing it. I am living proof that these 12 steps can serenitize your life. I said, my original transcript said revolutionize, but I change it to serenitize. Okay. I have been blessed and honored to be part of the team bringing the messages this year on the promises. At Serenity Church, we are standing on the promises. 2020 could use some promises.
Amen.
What a year we have had.
No kidding.
And I've learned a lot this year. One of the things I've learned, probably the biggest thing I've learned, is that I need y'all.
Amen.
Y'all.
Amen.
I need your hugs. I need your smiles. I need your fellowship. I need your experience, strength, and hope. I need you. You are my people. I know. I couldn't have said that in 2006. Okay, we will intuitively know. What is intuition? Is intuition a magical feeling superpower that comes on us as soon as we say yes to the 12 steps?
No.
I think not.
No, no, no.
I used to think that my strongest feelings were my intuition. If I felt angry, I would lash out at you. If I felt sorry for myself, I would isolate in and marinate in self-pity. If I felt sorry for you, I would step in and take responsibility for the things that you are supposed to be responsible for. I found out that my feelings are not reliable guides for living. What about common sense?
What's that?
Okay. Well, I used to pride myself in my superior common sense. Here's the perfect example. And I've been waiting 6 months. To find the right place in a message for this toilet paper meme. And since toilet paper is 2020's official mascot,
that's right.
Here we go. It is common sense to me that bathroom tissue should dispense over the top like
Amen.
A... Like the beard picture, you know, like a waterfall. It comes over the top,
Amen.
Like a waterfall.
Say it again.
And until fairly recently, if I was at your house and noticed that yours was coming down the wall, like the mullet, I would switch it. Yes, because it's just common sense to me, and I felt like I should share my common sense with you. I finally have enough recovery where I've stopped flipping roles at other people's houses because it's none of my business how you dispense your bathroom tissue. That took some recovery. So our common sense is not always universally common. Promise 11 is not magic feelings. Promise 11 is not just common sense. Promise 11 is the fruit of spiritual growth. Promise 11 says we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. The dictionary definition of intuition is quick and ready insight, discernment, wisdom. The word intuition or intuitive is not in any translation of the Bible that I could find. But the words insight, discernment, and wisdom are in the Bible a lot. So I turn to this book as the basis for my newfound intuition. Because to me, this book is a love letter and an instruction manual. It is a light to my path when rightly divided. Rightly divided is a King James term that means correctly interpreted. Working the 12 steps gave me a whole new outlook on my interpretation. When I correctly interpret this message, it is a bright light of insight, discernment, and wisdom for my journey. Many of us are familiar with this passage in the book of James regarding wisdom. James 1, 5 through 7 in The Voice. If you don't have all the wisdom needed for this journey, then all you have to do is ask God for it. And God will grant all that you need. He gives lavishly and never scolds you for asking. The key is that your request be anchored by your commitment to God. Those who depend only on their own judgment are like those lost at sea, carried away by any wave or picked up by any wind. So, the beginning of wisdom or intuition is asking for it from my Creator with a commitment to do things the way I'm created to do them. One of the places I get wisdom is from God is from the book of Proverbs, which is also called the Treasury of Wisdom. It says young men, so yeah.
Hey! This one's for us.
This is a good place for me to develop intuition. Proverbs 3, 27 and 28. Do not withhold what is good from those who deserve it. If it's within your power to give it, do it. Do not send your neighbor away saying, get back with me tomorrow. Maybe I can give it to you then, when what he needs is already in your hand. Some translations say, don't avoid paying your debts when you have the money to do it. And so whether this verse is talking about debts or benevolence, it is wisdom to pay my debts, and it's also wisdom to not be stingy. Proverbs 4:24, do away with any talk that twists and distorts the truth. Have nothing to do with verbal trickery. So it's wisdom to not twist the truth. Maybe trying to make others look bad or make myself look superior. Proverbs 6:12, someone who struts around taking advantage of unsuspecting souls and deceiving others is to be avoided.
Amen.
It's wisdom to avoid those who exploit the innocence of others. Avoid them. I used to move them into the house with me. That was not wisdom. Okay, Proverbs 10:9, the path of integrity is always safe, but a person who follows a crooked way will be exposed. It's wisdom to avoid shortcuts. In other words, half measures. Proverbs 10:19, the more you talk, the more likely you will cross the line and say the wrong thing. If you're wise, you'll speak less and with restraint.
Say it again.
It's wisdom to speak less. Anyone besides James and I? Okay. It's wisdom to speak less, especially when we're provoked. If we've been provoked. If we. There's an icon with the little zipper across the mouth. Mm-hmm. If we've been provoked, zip it. Straight out of Proverbs.
That's what sponsors are for. Text your sponsor.
Yes, text your sponsor. And it is progress, not perfection.
Right.
Proverbs 21:31. Do your best, but prepare for the worst.
Amen.
Then trust God to bring victory. So I can only do what I can do as a human being. A lot of times I need divine victory. Anyone else? Yeah. Wisdom and intuition grow in me as I sort out what God is responsible for and what I am responsible for. Before I worked the 12 steps, I had those roles reversed. In some relationships, I was God. In other relationships, they were God. And it never works too well with human beings in God's role. So what is the human role? My role is fairly simple. It's vertical, how I relate to my Creator love, and it's horizontal, how I relate to other people. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Or, if that picture is a little too HGTV for you, here's one that's a bit more serenitarian.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Does anyone already have this tattoo?
Not yet.
Okay. So that might be only the pastor has that tattoo.
For now.
That might be one Aunt Laurie could get on board with.
We'll pay for it.
I'll pay for that.
I know a guy.
I said maybe. Act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. The context of this verse taken from the Old Testament book of Micah is that God's people were living lives of excess, exploiting other people. The prophet Micah is reprimanding them, and they sarcastically ask him, well, what does God want? You know? And here's in the this is the Message version, Micah 6. It go and read it. It's really awesome. These are the people are saying to the prophet, would God be impressed with 1,000 rams with buckets of olive oil from us? Would he be pleased if we gave him our firstborn children? No, says the prophet. God has already made it plain how to live. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Those people were missing the point, and many of us continue to miss the point because we would rather check off some rule boxes, ching, 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 than be loving human beings. God's message is not to do more stuff for Him. God's message is not rules and regulations. God's message is not more sacrifice. God's message is alive in how we treat and view other people. How we treat them when we disagree with them on religion or politics. How we view them when we're envious of them. How we treat them when they falsely accuse us. How we view them when they cut us off in traffic. How we treat them when they are annoying. How we view them when they relapse and they come back.
Amen.
Jesus said the greatest command is to love God and love others as well as I love myself. Let's look at Romans 13:9. This is the Voice version. The commands given to you in the Scriptures: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not take what is not yours, do not covet, and any other command are summarized in God's instruction: love your neighbor as yourself. Love achieves everything the law requires.
Amen.
Love achieves everything. Well, what does this have to do with intuition? My CODA, Promise 11, says, I trust the guidance I receive from my higher power and come to believe in my own capabilities. The guidance from my higher power in these verses from Proverbs and Micah and Romans: justice, mercy, humility, and love is the basis for my intuition. Okay. What's... Is it... I was up here on the 4th of July, too. It's... Okay. I was. I love when they set off fireworks when I'm bringing the message. Okay. So, my intuition in baffling situations is developed when I ask myself these questions. What would justice or fairness do in this baffling situation? What would mercy do in this baffling situation? What would humility do in this baffling situation? And the greatest of these that achieves everything is, what would love do in this baffling situation? When I can rightly apply fairness, mercy, humility, and love for myself and others, I will handle situations the way I was created to handle them. The name of our local CODA group is the Core Values Group. The reason that name was chosen is because, as a compliant, enabling, people-pleasing codependent, I had been living for decades violating my own conscience in order to please other people. Being rejected by other people was unbearable for me. So I lived as if my greatest purpose was to please everyone, no matter how outrageous their expectations were. I ended up despising myself. I gave up my certificate of authenticity. Trying to play the role that they assigned me. So, what are some of the core values I abandoned as a people pleaser? Nothing. Oh, okay. Anybody do glamour shots? Back in the early 90s? Yes, that's me. That's embarrassing right there. That's the portrait of a people pleaser. I gave up making my relationship with my Creator, number one. I gave up being a good steward of all my resources. I gave up being the best mother I could be. I gave up being dependable, keeping my word. I gave up being true to myself and walking in the integrity of the God-given gifts that had been lavishly bestowed on me. All of my core values suffered because the object of my affection was in competition with my values. By me dishonoring my core values, I rejected myself. I left myself on the side of the road and began a journey of hoping another person would fill the gap of my empty shell. I wanted other people to complete me. Aunt Laurie, you're talking crazy talk. How do you leave yourself on the side of the road?
I don't know.
How do you abandon yourself?
I don't know.
Where we go, that's where we are, right? We hear that in recovery. Max share for communion. I'm going off script again, y'all. I don't know what's going to happen. Now, I think most of you realize that we don't choreograph to the nth degree everything that happens in every service, but we're always amazed when it's over. Wow, the songs all went with it. The communion devotion went with it. Everything went together. And I actually am a little hesitant to talk too much about our inner child and the fact that I abandoned myself as a 7-year-old on the side of the road. I did it and lived as an empty shell until I was 50 years old. And it happens. And if you don't understand that and you would like to, who can give people the time and place of the CODA meetings? Raise your hand if you can. If Max share gave your heart a tug and you started picturing your inner child and you couldn't because it was too painful, any of those people with their hands up can tell you that's where I got recovery for that. So, if you have never abandoned yourself, bravo, I applaud you. But most of us have at least temporarily abandoned ourselves, pretending to be a perfect glamour shot or pretending to be bad to the bone. When we really... Or both, yeah. And so, it's all being fake. It's living fake. And that is how they live out there. I can't, I can barely remember what it was like. I can barely remember. I know that it was a horrible way to live.
Amen.
A horrible way to live. So, my counterfeit pre-recovery intuition was to reject myself. To get or keep the approval of others, my pre-recovery intuition demanded that I become a lump of silly putty. Does anyone still play with silly putty? Okay, a few. Even some young techies still play with silly putty.
You get the cartoon.
Yeah.
Not slime.
Silly, yeah. Okay. Silly putty was a big deal when I was a kid.
What?
It was a wonder toy. It says so right there. And it says hours and hours of fun. Yes. And I really did spend hours of time with it. I was convinced that I was not acceptable as Laurie, so I became like Silly Putty. The lump, formerly known as Laurie, could be stretched and pulled, but it wouldn't break unless you wanted it to break. You know how you could break it? Or you could stretch it. The lump, formerly known as Laurie, could copy whatever picture you wanted. Then you could stretch the picture, formerly known as Laurie, and make it more amusing. Just like the ad says. I self-abandoned because it was too painful to be me. So, can you imagine how far away from myself I felt after decades of that? I was baffled and lost when I first embraced 12-step recovery. Instead of core values and the wisdom to use them, I had a core of shame. That core of shame was developed by false beliefs carried over from childhood, just like Mac shared with us before communion. So I didn't do a slide showing the false belief words that were in my core of shame. Most of us are very familiar with those words. I didn't need to do a slide. Words like loser, stupid, worthless, idiot. We don't need a slide for that, do we? The miracle of recovery is that the core of shame has been replaced with a core of value. And let these words soak in for a moment. Loved, unique, content, royal, approved. That's the core of value. My first order of business in recovery was to have my higher power bring me back to that little girl that I abandoned on the side of the road and restore her to me. And just like Max said, there is no time in eternity. What's happening right now has always happened. And now I've tried to read the books about quantum physics and some of that. That's not my deal. You know. Yeah. But I can literally scoop up what I left behind and bring it into myself and allow that little girl to mature with the Holy Spirit parenting her with all of that. The beloved child. As I progressed in my recovery and intuition, I learned that sometimes I need mercy too. And loving people is not necessarily going to please them. And me following my core values might make others angry at me. I learned to be okay with that. Am I perfect in this intuition walk? Nope. Because sometimes we get hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, don't we? If we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, things will take us by surprise. But we keep growing, we keep changing, we keep developing insight, discernment, and wisdom. Page 86 of the book, Big Book says, in thinking about our day on awakening, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration and intuitive thought or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. What used to be a hunch or occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. This is important because our wise intuition will not flourish and grow if we are trying to force outcomes. Instead of relaxing and allowing things to unfold organically, especially when other people are involved. Outcomes are God's role. The next right, justice, mercy, humility, and love, is my role. I can slow down and develop the gift of intuition. Let's pray. Abba Father, may your love grow more and more in wisdom and insight. May we be able to determine in every situation what is the most loving action for ourselves and others. Your will be done. Amen. That prayer was taken from Philippians 1:9. I am capable, with God's help, of applying justice, mercy, humility, and love to baffling situations. And thank you for letting me share. Amen.